This teaching is from City Church Coventry. You can find us online at www.citychurchcoventry.org.
We're into Colossians 2, verse 16 to 23. So let's read that together. And I'm calling what we're going to talk about today, shadows and substance. Shadows and substance. Okay? So it says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism and the worship of angels, going into detail about visions, puffed up without reason it by his sensuous mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments, grows with a growth that is from God. If with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity to the body, but they're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. I think we find in this passage three things, three traps that Christians can fall into, three kind of sidetracks that you can end up going down, three ways that the flesh seeks to pull you back from living the life of faith. And the first one we find is legalism. Okay, the second one, and you all know some legalistic Christians, don't you? Yeah? It's all about doing the right, you know, keeping the right rules, not doing this, not doing that, making sure we're very careful. And that's how we please God, by keeping all the legalism. Okay, it's a trap, it's a distraction, it'll keep you from what God has to you. The second one is this, flakiness. Yeah? Anyone know any flaky Christians? And the third one is this, worldliness. Okay? So there are three deceptions, there are three distractions, there are three ways of living life that will rob you from living the life that God intends for you. Legalism, flakiness, and worldliness. And I would suggest that each of us, at certain times, have taken a little detour down each of those paths. Yeah? There are times when that's happened. I'm sure it's not true right now, but just in case you're ever tempted again, we're going to look at this. Because God does not want us to be legalistic, he certainly doesn't want us to be flaky, and he definitely doesn't want us to be worldly. So let's look, because what we find here is that to each of these, there is an antidote. And the first one is this, that the antidote to legalism is living in the substance of Christ. He says, let no one judge you. And what he's hinting at here was there was a move in the first generation of the church that tried to drag Christians back into the legalism of Judaism. That said, you have to follow all of the law of Moses before you can follow Jesus. Okay, and we don't need to rehearse that whole story. We find it in the book of Acts. The book of Galatians is written to combat the whole idea. And there's just a hint of it here. You know, it's about the observing the new moons and the Sabbaths. It's about the observation of this, that, and the other. And Paul says, look, those are just the shadows. You have the substance. The substance is in Christ. And the antidote to legalism is to realize and to live in the fact that Christ is our new reality. Okay, in Christ, we have come into a new reality. We have come into substance. The word substance here is normally translated body, just one of these things. Okay, and a body is something that causes a shadow to form when light is shone on it. Okay, so I want you to imagine, for me, future is always to the right, but you're looking this way, so future's going to be that way. And that works well because the sun is shining through here. Okay, so I want you to imagine that over here on your right is the future, is the time when the glory of God is fully seen in the earth, when the new heavens and the new earth has come, when Christ, who is your life, has appeared. He is brilliant, shining like the sun. He's shining from there, okay? Now, back down over there, that's history, okay? And in the middle is, I'll be Jesus, if that's okay. In the middle is Jesus in his incarnation. And when Jesus came into the world, He lit up creation. John 1 says, the true light that illuminates all things was coming into the world. He lit up the whole of creation. He showed us ultimately what God was going to do. And he stood there in a body, in substance. And it was like the light shone at him and it cast certain shadows. And Paul is saying, the shadows are the things you read about in the Old Testament. Things like the law, things like the Sabbath, things like the festivals. They're just shadows. They don't mean anything without the substance. They can't tell you anything if you don't know the substance. But when you know the substance, when you know the object that is causing those shadows to form, they can become really helpful. But if you just try to follow the shadows, you're not going to get anywhere. Because we live in the day when Christ has come. We live in the reality. We live in the fulfillment of all that God has promised. And too many Christians want to live back in the shadows. They want to think that actually if I keep these rules and regulations, then I'll please God. And he says, I don't want you to do that. I want you to live in the reality of the Christ that has come. I want you to live and enjoy the new life that Jesus has brought for you. The Old Testament shadows form when the light of Christ's ultimate glory is shone through his incarnation. So theologically, when we know the substance, then the shadows can be helpful. But without Christ, they're just shifting shadows. But more importantly, spiritually in our lives today, that when we know that we live and move and have our being, which is a phrase that Paul borrows from a Greek poet to talk about the life we have in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. When we know that what we're living today, that the Christian life, being born again, becoming a new creation, having your sin taken away, having eternal life put into you, is the ultimate reality, then first of all judgment is removed. Don't let anyone judge you. Don't let anyone judge you. Don't let anyone mark you by whether or not you observe these things. Because you've come into a greater reality. And also, you'll live free from the fear of men. Do not let anyone judge you. Don't worry about what they say. Live in the reality of Christ. Amen. Jesus is your new reality. In him we live and move and have our being. Do you know that today I don't keep the law? Yeah? There's 10 commandments. In fact, there's lots more, but there's 10 that we know of, aren't there? That we could probably recite, given enough time, pencil, piece of paper. Write down the 10 commandments. Do you know what? You don't need, and neither should you try, to keep the 10 commandments. You've all gone really quiet. Because some of you are sitting there thinking, I really don't think it can be okay to murder people. It's not. Thanks, Gordon. Thank you, officer. Romans chapter 8, verse 4. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 says, the righteous requirement of the law is fulfilled by those who walk according to the Spirit. It doesn't say the law is kept. It says the law is fulfilled. Now, to fulfill the law, you're going to keep the law. But not because you're trying to keep the law, but because you're walking by the Spirit. You see, in us, all that the law represented, it's not just that we keep it, we fulfill it. We go beyond keeping the law. We actually, as we walk by the Spirit, you know, if you're walking by the Spirit, you will not ever murder anyone. If you're walking by the Spirit, you will never bear false witness. If you're walking by the Spirit, you will never steal. Yeah? But it's not because you're trying to keep the law. It's because you're walking by the Spirit. That's the reality of what we have in Christ. Nobody can come and judge you and say, well, you ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing this, you ought to be doing this, because I don't live that way anymore. I walk by the Spirit. In him I live, move, and have my being. This is how life is lived today. And Paul says the antidote to legalism is to live in the reality, the new reality of life in Jesus Christ. It's not to try harder. Yeah, it's actually to give up trying and allow the Holy Spirit to be the one that leads you and lives the life of Christ in you. Okay, let's press on. The antidote to flakiness, okay, if any of you have ever felt a little bit flaky, don't worry, there is no condemnation. Don't let anyone judge you. But the antidote to flakiness is to hold fast to the head. He says, let no one disqualify you. So first of all, he said, let no one judge you, legalism. Now he says, let no one disqualify you. Let no one come along and say, you know what, you don't know enough. There was another heresy that started to come around. Scholars debate whether it actually existed at the time that Paul wrote it, but you find enough hints at it in the New Testament to think that it was probably beginning to come in. It was called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism said that there was secret truth that only certain people knew. And it was kind of very Dan Brown. Okay, it was very kind of, I can't remember what the book's called, I've never read it. Da Vinci Code. Yeah, it was this very, it's kind of, you've got to know these secret truths in order to really be, inherit salvation. And kind of Gnosticism kind of developed two forms. One which said, because basically Gnosticism, they would say the flesh is unimportant, which either means the flesh is unimportant, so it's bad, so beat yourself up, okay, literally sometimes, or the flesh is unimportant, so do whatever you like. And so one would lead to kind of like self-abuse, and the other one would lead to kind of sexual license and all that kind of stuff. But all in the name of a secret knowledge. It's this. But Paul says, look, let no one disqualify you. Let no one come along and say, you don't know enough. He said, because you know what? You have been joined to the head. You have a first degree relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you heard of the idea of 6 degrees of separation? Yeah? 6 degrees of separation, which means that you can connect to any person in the world through 6 personal acquaintances. There will just be 5 people between you. So think of someone, Simon, think of someone in the world that you don't know. Maybe a famous person. George Clooney, there you go. So Simon and George Clooney, you can go from somebody that Simon knows, you can find just 5 people that will get from him to George Clooney. I did a little bit of research. It's not entirely true. Actually, if you are, the truth is, if you're on Twitter, there's only 3.5 degrees of separation on average. Okay? So if you, as the world gets more connected, but then of course there are kind of like unreached people groups in the Amazon rainforest and stuff. So, you know, you can try as much as you like. You're never going to get 6 degrees of separation to meet those. But anyway, there's this idea that we can all be connected through. And one of the things that will come along and that can make kind of Christians flaky is when people come along and say, well, you know, without this extra bit of truth that I want to give you, you can't really enjoy the fullness of life with Christ. And you know what that's trying to do? It's trying to tell you that you need somebody more than you need Jesus. Or that you need some piece of information, or you need some hidden truth, or you need some secret, or you need something more than just being intimately connected to Jesus. Let no one, he says, disqualify you. But rather hold fast to the head. He said, people like this, it's because they've let go of their head. He said, hold fast to the head. Here are some things that the headship of Jesus means to us. The headship of Jesus, Ephesians 5:23, the headship of Jesus saves us. It says this, the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the saviour of the body. He's the head of the church and the saviour of the body. Your connection to Christ as your head means that you are saved. Yes. Nobody else is required in that equation. Only you and Jesus. Christ's headship also means, quite obviously, that he has first place. We read this a few weeks ago in Colossians 1:18. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might have first place in everything. And staying connected to Christ your head means that you keep him first place in everything. Yeah? You keep him first place in everything. Christ's headship also means that we share his position. Look at this. Colossians 2:9-10. Again, probably looked at this last week or the week before. In him, the whole fullness of the deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled with him who is head over every ruler and authority. You are full of Christ, and Christ is head over every ruler and authority. There is no authority that is not under Christ's feet. And you, because you are in Christ and because Christ has filled you, you share that position. All things are under your feet as well because you've been brought into Christ. So his headship means that we share his position of authority. Christ's headship means, and this is the one we've just read here, that he is our source of life and of growth. It says, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, develops with growth from God, or grows with a growth that is from God. Christ's headship, remaining attached to him, means that he is my source of life and my source of growth. And so the antidote to flakiness is to hold fast to Christ. Allow, continually bring to a place of prominence in your life the reality of his headship. He saves you. He has first place. He elevates you. And he's your source of life and growth. And the third thing that we need an antidote to is worldliness. And the antidote to the ways of the world is death. The only way to get out of the ways of the world is to die. Anyone want to do some dying today? Well, I strongly encourage it. It's fantastically liberating because we have been liberated from the ways of the world. It says we have died to the elemental spirits, which is nothing to do with kind of gin or any other kind of distilling and brewing. The elemental spirits, it just means the first principles of how the world works. So the basis upon which the whole of this world works, you're dead to that. That no longer works in you. You know, we can choose to continue to live that way, but we really don't have to. He says, why do you do this as if you were still alive in the world? Can you imagine reading that for the Colossians? The Colossians had never met Paul. Most of them hadn't met Paul. He'd never been there. And I bet this was quite a revelation to some of them. That Paul is surprised that they might think that they're still alive in the world. And they're going, well, you know, this guy looks like he's still alive. And, you know, we're not a church of ghosts, are we? Are we? Is this some kind of sixth sense kind of scenario going on here? I thought we were still alive. He goes, no, you're not alive in this world. Why would you live the ways of the world? Because that's not your world anymore. You live in a different world. In 1 Corinthians 3 verse 4, when the Corinthians are arguing about which is their favourite preacher, Paul says, you're behaving like mere humans. I thought we were humans. But no, you're not humans anymore. You're behaving like it. You're still kind of going about things in a worldly way because you're having some kind of competition about who's the best preacher. He says, but you don't have to live that way anymore. You've been liberated from that. You've been set free from that. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How does that become a reality in my life? Oh, well, you just die. Just die. What, that, you know, like not live any, not breathe. Yeah, die. How do we live it? Like Jesus said, take up our cross and follow him. The cross is death. Yeah, the cross is death. The cross is also victory. And your victory comes in death.
Yes.
Your freedom comes in dying. You've died and you've been buried with Christ. That's what baptism is. It's not just getting very wet. It's not just an outward expression of an inner reality. It's something much more than that. It's not just a public affirmation of the lordship of Jesus in your life. It's something much more powerful than that. It's the means by which you die to this world. Romans 6:6, we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Wow. You can get out of slavery and you can get out of sin by dying. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So you die, but you still live. But you live a whole different life. You live the same life that Jesus lived. You live the same life that Jesus lives today. It has all the same qualities of the life that Jesus lives today. Galatians 5:24, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. You know, I love passionate people, and I love people with strong desires, but they can't be the passions and the desires of the flesh. God wants us to have strong passions and desires, but they need to be not the desires of this world, not the desires of our flesh, but the desires of God, the desires of the Spirit, the desires of the new things that God is bringing forth. Galatians 6:4. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You see, there's no coming back from this death. There's no coming back. When something dies, that's the end of the story. And the antidote to worldliness is to embrace our death with Christ and find that Christ is our ultimate liberation. You know, it hurts. Death hurts. It's not painless. It includes loss. Yeah? Remember the rich young ruler that comes to Jesus. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he found the thing that he loved most dear in this world. And he said, everything you own, go and sell it and give the money to the poor. There's a loss. Because if the world has got a hold on you, if you want to be free from it, everything that might have a hold on you has got to go. And that young man, he couldn't count that cost. He couldn't bear that loss. And there may be things of this world that we hold on to. But if we hold on to them, they will pull us, and they will pull us, and they will pull us. And we'll find that our lives become more and more worldly. Jesus wants to free you from that. But he said, I've got a solution, but it's pretty extreme. It's pretty radical. It requires the end of your life. It requires you laying down everything. And every day taking up the cross of liberty, the cross of freedom, the cross that says the world has been crucified to me. You can turn around and say to the things of this world, you're dead to me and you have no hold on me. Amen. So three temptations, three sidetracks, three distractions, three things that fall short of the glory of God, and an antidote to each one, to legalism. Don't pursue legalism. Don't be legalistic. Legalistic people, if nothing else, legalistic people are very tiresome to spend time with. They really are. You know, just look at Jesus. You know, you very rarely find him sharing a meal with a legalistic person. He does occasionally. It's once or twice that you find him with the Pharisees, but then they're the ones that are already kind of a little bit on the turn. But you find him with the tax collectors and the sinners and the prostitutes. You know, Jesus likes to be with fun people. He doesn't like to be with legalistic people. In fact, the only bit of interaction that Jesus seemed to enjoy with the legalistic people was to give him a bit of a slapping. Don't pursue legalism. It's not going to get you anywhere. But walk by the Spirit. Walk in the new reality of what Christ has brought you into. See the substance. This is the real thing. I hope you enjoy the Christian life, because this is the life you're going to be living for the rest of eternity. Yeah? You know, there are some... Oh, I've probably told you this before, but when we were in Florida on holiday a couple of years ago, I put the radio on and it was the Southern Gospel Channel, which is all the close harmony singing. Sounds beautiful until you start listening to the lyrics. Because I don't know whether we got to about four songs or five songs, and every one of them was about how terrible life is and how wonderful it was going to be when they get to heaven. And I thought, you know, that's not the gospel. You know, we have the substance, we have the reality, we have Christ, we have the new creation right now. We have inherited eternal life. If you don't enjoy eternal life, well, I suggest you adjust your attitude, because you're going to be living it for the rest of eternity. Don't fall into legalism. Live in the new reality of what Christ has done. Don't be flaky. Please don't be flaky. But instead, hold fast to the head. Allow Christ to be first in everything. Allow his salvation to completely permeate. Don't look for something to get me closer to Jesus. Something or someone. Yeah? I love conferences, and I love a good conference, and I love going to hear a preacher, but don't become a conference junkie. Don't become one of these people that think, you know, unless I go and hear that great preacher, unless I get to this place, unless I go there, I can't connect with Jesus. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yeah. Don't lose connection with the head. Yes. Don't let anyone either deliberately or inadvertently try and tell you that you need somebody else in between. I cannot replace Jesus for you. Most of you know me well enough to probably laugh at the thought of it. But, you know, so many Christians, that's kind of how they think. But if you're connected, if you're radically pursuing union with Christ, then I can help you and I can encourage you a lot. And you can do the same for me. Don't become worldly. Don't let the world, was it Romans 12:2 in the J.B. Phillips translation? Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Yeah? It's trying. It wants to do that. But you know, the cross means that the world is dead to you and you're dead to the world. Embrace death. Death is a wonderful thing. Just ask any emo. I expect you all turn up next week with dyed black hair and black nail polish. No, I'm not. No, I'm not really. Please don't do that. Well, I mean, you know, if that's your thing. But death is a wonderful thing. If it's death to a life that isn't really worth living. And if it's going to be replaced by a life that is enough to sustain and thrill and excite you and give you passion and desire for the rest of your life. So I'm just looking at Adam and remembering the picture that he reposted on Facebook this week. That must have been what was in there. Hallelujah, your emo phase is behind you, Adam. But death is still a daily reality for you. Because you're dying to the ways of this world. All those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what's our conclusion? Only the Holy Spirit can overcome the flesh. Where does the reading ends in kind of a strange place, doesn't it? It says these things that they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. And it's underlying that there's a desire here. There's a sense within us that we shouldn't be giving in to the things of the flesh. But legalism won't help you. Flakiness won't help you. And worldliness won't help you. None of those things will help you not give in to the flesh. The only thing that stops the indulgence of the flesh is the Spirit. Only the Spirit can overcome the flesh. Get to know the landscape of the new reality and live in it. Draw on the life of Christ and hold fast to the head. Live in liberty and die every day. Just as I was preparing, I just felt, and I know I don't do this that often, but I felt it would be good for us, because there's a lot of word there, but the conclusion is this: only the Spirit can really help. Yeah. And I would like to invite all of us to just stand and call on the Holy Spirit for a fresh impartation of Himself. Maybe you've been trying legalism and it's not working out too well for you. Maybe you've flirted with flakiness and that hasn't worked out too well either. Maybe you've allowed yourself to become a little bit worldly, and that's never going to do you any good. It's only the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for all of us, but I'm very happy to pray with individuals as well. If you think, I just want to know a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit so that I can walk and I can live this life that Christ has bought for me. Because it's only by the Holy Spirit that I can live it. I'm going to pray for all of us, then our time will be done, but I'm very happy to pray with any others one-on-one. Just to see a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit that's going to cause us to live in this wonderful life that Christ has for us. So let's just lift our hands to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we ask you right now. We say we can do Nothing without you, but all things with you. There is no way we can live this life in our own strength, by our own abilities, with our own thoughts. But we are perfectly equipped vessels for you. We are perfectly fitted to live the life of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, we say, will you come afresh into our lives? Will you fill us afresh? Will you cause us to bubble up with the life of Christ? Will you cause us to walk your ways and so therefore fulfill the righteous requirement of the law? Not strive to keep the law, but to fulfill it as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, will you keep us connected to Christ? Not becoming distracted by things that might sound good, that might sound clever, that might sound spiritual, but really are totally carnal. We want the authentic life of Christ. Holy Spirit, you're the only one that can bring the authentic life of Christ into us. And would you cause us to keep dead? Would you cause us to not try and take up a life that is already passing away? Would you empower us, Lord, to keep walking forward and not go backwards and try and revive a corpse that has been crucified, but to walk in newness of life every day? Holy Spirit, we call on you. Fill us afresh. Anoint us. Empower us. Equip us to live the life of Christ to the glory of the Father. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from City Church Coventry. You can find more great teaching and other resources on our website at www.citychurchcoventry.org.